here is ABC. Oh, so many, about half, right? The question is, do you learn the grammar before you learn English? For ABC. Your mother told you what is the grammar, the subject, move, verb. No, right? But for those English as a second language, usually they learn the grammar first, right? If you're born in the other country, just like me, we learn a lot of grammar, but my English is still no good. Right. And the apostle of Jesus Christ, or disciple of Jesus Christ, did Jesus teach them how to conduct Bible study? No. Did Jesus teach them how to explain the Bible? No. Right? Jesus just tell them the truth. And then Holy Spirit guide them to understand the words of God. So this section is effective Bible study. Yes, there are some rule or some suggestion we summarized from our past experience for your reference. But when the Holy Spirit guides you, probably you don't have learned about this. You still can understand the Bible very well. So the teaching material is only for your reference. You know, some people like to eat fish, right? I believe a lot of you like to eat fish, right? But some people, they hate fish. For those who like to eat fish, sometimes you can see they can eat all the what? All the fish, all the meat, right? And the bone left in the dish. But for those who hate the fish, probably they had a bad experience, right? After eat 2-3 of mouth of fish, you are choked by thorn. Then all the sashimi there, you cannot enjoy it. Okay, you're choked by the bone. You hate the fish. The same thing, Bible. You know, some of the people who are Christian, they read the Bible and say, oh, the more I read the Bible, the more I have doubt about my faith. Right? But some of the Christians, the more they read the Bible, the more they receive benefit. It's very similar to eating the fish. If we know how to read the Bible, we can gain a lot of insight and we can become a person who has spiritual wisdom. But if we don't know the right way to study the Bible, we are choked by a lot of questions. And all the other nutrition in the Bible, you cannot have it. So the next point is, do you know Bible is the manual of our life, human being? You buy a computer, they will come with a manual. And God creates a human being. God gives us a manual. What is a manual? The Bible. So when we have a problem in our life, you have to go back to the Bible to check, how come I have this problem? What is the root cause of the problem? How can I fix my problem? Every problem in the Bible, there is always answer there. But Bible is quoted. So sometimes you cannot find the answer. We cannot find the answer not because there is no answer, but because it's quoted. If you can look into it and Holy Spirit open your eye, you can see the wonderful answer there. What is the best book of teaching your children? Or not, you have no children. What is the best book in the future to teach your children? The best book is Bible. Some of the newlywed couple, after they have children, they purchase the book of Discipline My Children, right? But if you purchase two books, usually you are going to see there is a conflicting view. Right? You buy three books, you can see three persons say something differently. The same thing with the marriage book. the best book to build a good marriage is Bible. If we take away the Bible, you go to look into the library, there are so many different kind of theory about how to manage the marriage. Right? So Bible is a wonderful book. It's the most profound book. It's a book of wisdom. Because this is a book come from God. No one can write a book superior than Bible. Better than Bible. Oh. So if we forsake Bible, we read a lot of worldly book, then it's sometimes very pitiful. Yes, there are a lot of good book you should read. But the book of the Bible is the king of all the books. So the wisdom is hidden inside. So this is the introduction why we need to have Bible study. Because we want to get something out of the Bible to instruct us how to lead a godly life. What can we do so we can be saved? And how to live a good, happy family or a good, happy marriage. So the Bible is the answer. Now, if you look into teaching material, we are going to how to conduct an effective Bible study. I only want to mention one thing. There are three steps, like a pyramid, a triangle. The bottom is observation. Like this is the foundation. And on top of the bottom is, the middle part is interpretation. And the top of the pyramid is application. So if you want to make it very simple, not so complicated, three steps for Bible effective Bible study. Observation, interpretation, life application. Observation, first, you have to understand the literal meaning. And you observe the text thoroughly and come up with some kind of main point. And then, based on the main point, we give an interpretation. And that interpretation is a spiritual meaning. If we observe the Bible very well, and we have good interpretation, but we don't relate the spiritual teaching to our daily life. That means in your brain, you have a lot of spiritual teaching. But in our life, we had no transformation. Because Bible is irrelevant to our life. But actually, Bible is relevant to our life. Sometimes I heard some of the members say, oh, a sermon too theoretic. It's no use. Right? And some of the members commented, the sermon is too shallow. All talk about life. If you talk about life, I don't have to go to the church. Right? There are a lot of information how to live a life. So they are two extremes. Some say the teaching too theoretic. Some say the teaching is too practical. No depth at all. But if we come back to the teaching of the Bible, the transformation of life is based on our understanding of theology, our understanding of God and God's teaching. That is the foundation of spiritual transformation. If we take out the theology of our spiritual transformation, then our transformation probably become baseless, no foundation, and probably very easy to be drifted away. So how come there are so-called cult, right? You know, in the recent 100 years, some of the cult, the people temple or something, they kill a lot of people because the direction they pursue, the way they live their life, no biblical foundation. So it's very important. Now, first, we understand the teaching of the Bible. Then we have to try to apply the teaching of the Bible to our daily life. First, we have to observe the literal meaning, interpret the literal meaning correctly. Of course, if we interpret the literal meaning not so correct, you still can come up with a good teaching. That's still good, right? For example, have you heard about your Y2K? At that time, how old are you? 13 years old ago, how old are you? Still a baby, right? Some of you. Year 2K, 2YK, right? Some people interpret, right? God created the universe, how many days? 6 days, right? The seventh day, God rest. And then, Psalm chapter 90, God looked the time, 1,000 like 1 year, right? Right? Psalm chapter 90, 1,000 in the eyes of God, just like 1 year. So God created the universe means 6 days means 6,000 years. And the seventh day is the day of rest. This kind of interpretation, perfect and biblical, right? Oh, so what does that mean? In the Old Testament, it's about 4,000 years. Then in the New Testament, the year Y2K will reach to what? The end of 2000. So it add up 4,000 and 2,000 means what? It's a time to enter the seventh day, the day of rest. It's the second coming of Jesus Christ, right? This literal meaning translation is totally wrong. But even wrong interpretation, then that encourages the church member, Jesus is coming, oh, let's pray hard. It's good. Oh, right. You lose nothing. You pray hard, lose nothing. Oh, right. And some of the workers encourage the church member, oh, Jesus is coming. Oh, so you know what? Store up all the canned food. All the basement store up all the canned food. But it happened, Jesus did not come. The next half year is very painful. You have to eat up all the canned food. So later on, the worker openly apologized to the members. I interpret it wrongly. So we observe the text and interpret the text correctly is important. Another example, right? The Bible talk about the lily in the wilderness, right? If we understand the text, if we don't understand, we just observe the lily here. You see the lily bow down the head, so we have to be humble, right? But if you observe the text, you're going to study about the plant in the biblical time. The lily at that time is what? Facing upwards. So we interpret wrongly, but still, you can teach a church member, you have to be holy, you have to be humble, that's fine. Right. Now, in order to understand the teaching of the Bible, the text, very well, what should you do? Sometimes, you have to use different translation to compare to each other. And most of you study the English Bible, right? And English Bible, the translation is easy to understand. So sometimes we study the Chinese Bible, and that Bible was translated in 100 years ago. And so sometimes very difficult to understand. So what should we do? When we read the English Bible, then we understand it. And different version of English Bible can look into a verse or a word from different perspective, and you come up with different spiritual teaching. Let me give you an example. Psalm chapter 90. Verse 17. What is your English Bible, the first sentence? Psalm chapter 90, verse 17. The first sentence. What's your translation? Right, anyone, read aloud. Read aloud. Psalm chapter 90. Yes, I announced three times already. Uh-huh. Oh, 19, sorry. My English has some virus, so bear with me. Psalm chapter 90, verse 17. Okay, that's the beauty of the law. Does any one of you, your English Bible, let the favor of the law be upon us? Yeah? Yeah. So some translate beauty, some translate favor. But both of the translation, very good. Let the beauty of the law come unto us. What is the beauty of the law? Now you have to interpret, right? The literal meaning, you have to interpret spiritual meaning. What is the beauty of the law? What is the beauty of God? You don't know. You don't know. What is the beauty of God? Brother, huh? The image of God is the beauty of God. So spiritually, who is the most beautiful person? If you forsake about spiritually, who is the most beautiful woman in the Bible? Abraham's wife. Right? And Job's daughter. If you look at the Bible, it's very beautiful. And that is physically, right? What we are talking about spiritually, who is the most beautiful person? You don't know. The beauty of the law means the one who has the image of God. The answer is so clear already, right? And who is the most beautiful person in the Bible? Which means who has the image of God? Who? Jesus Christ. Another one. Adam and Eve before they commit sin, right? But you are very humble. You never say me, right? So that the beauty of the law come to us. So what does it mean? We pray to God that please help me. I can transform to be a person who can reflect the image of God, who can be like Jesus Christ, who can be like Adam before he commits sin. And this is where the value of the person count. Do you know? The value of a person, not because you graduate from what? Ivy League or come from the very, very prominent school. Oh, that is from the worldly perspective. The value of a person doesn't mean you have been promoted to become a CEO or you have a lot of money. That is from worldly perspective. But in front of God, God judges us by whether we have the image of God. So this is first interpretation. Then after we interpret to the spiritual meaning and the life application, right? What does that mean? Have the image of God. What does that mean? What does that mean? We have the image of God. You just look into Jesus Christ, right? Be very merciful, very kind, right? Be very humble, be very holy, be very just. Or what? Justice, right? Be righteous. That is the image of God. And then you can give a lot of life example. Oh, so this is called life application. Oh, okay. The second interpretation, the favor of the law. The favor of the law means what? The grace of God. Are you afraid that you are not very outstanding? Are you worried about you are not very outstanding? Right? When I stand before the mirror, I look the person inside the mirror, I feel sad. I'm average, right? And look into a school, all my study is what, straight B or C. I'm average. Looking into their capability, I'm average. Are you worried about that? Right? We are not outstanding. You cannot blame your parents, do you know? All the parents want to give birth to an outstanding children, right? But what are you going to blame about? You blame about God? It's unfair, right? But one thing can transform this unchangeable factor is what? The favor of the law. If the grace of God is upon you, your life will be like in heaven, even though you are not outstanding, you know? So pray, let the favor of the law be upon us. When you go to have a job interview, right? You know, the final decision made by a person, probably department head. right? And department head had one boss. And on top of that boss, there's another boss. Do you know who? It's God. If God wants to give you the job, then you get the job. Right? So simple. Of course, you have to do your best, right? Oh, do your best to prepare yourself. Be a diligent person. Have a good review, good recommendation, right? But beside that, they are so competitive. Every people with a good resume, very beautiful resume. All in the bottom line is God. If the favor of God come to you, that means what? You get it. No. So this is called, we interpret the Bible from literal meaning, spiritual teaching, and life application. And then you know, oh, how can I change the direction of my life? I have to behave to be a person who finds the favor of the Lord. Now, let's look into some practical passage. We learn from the practical passage. Probably some of you already know. We study with you some already. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 11. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. If the church assign you, to give a sermon, and a church also assign you, then the sermon should come from Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Now, you need to come up with a topic, right? What kind of topic are you going to give? What will be the topic, your topic, about Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to 11, chapter 5, verse 1 to 11? The topic you give is the theme of this passage. So before we try to interpret the Bible, we have to look the whole passage thoroughly, one time, five times, 10 times, 20 times, until you can get a theme. After you read thoroughly, naturally, you will come up with a theme of the passage. So before you go into detail, we look into the whole passage and come up with a theme. And what will be the theme? What will be the theme? Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. What will be the theme? You have to read thoroughly, from verse 1 to 11, thoroughly, until you look in the whole passage as a whole, then you can come up with a theme. What will be the theme? Anybody want to try? Those who come up with the theme first, then you raise up your hand first. What is the theme? Fishing the fisher of men, okay. That's her theme, okay. Any other theme? Hey, brothers, you are a little lag behind. My sister, you're going to raise a hand. No brother raise a hand. You're supposed to be the head of family, eh? What will be the theme, brother? Following Jesus. Okay. Now, who will be next? Sister or brother? What will be the theme? Theme means you look in the whole passage very far away and come up with the whole package. Whole passage is talking about this. One sentence. Do not be too long. God's way is the best way. God's way is the best way. Usually on the topic, we don't over 10 words. It's not 10 words yet, 6 words. Okay, any other? Now, brother have 4 answers. Sister only one, sister. Right. What is the theme? Huh? What is the theme? Sister, what is the theme? Huh? Have faith in God. Oh, okay. Of course, you can have different theme, because probably you will emphasize different point in the passage. I try to give a theme. The theme is transformation of Peter. Now, you observe the whole passage. You know, sermon, there are two ways to prepare a sermon or a Bible study. A passage, we think the passage, there is some logic inside. Don't think logic only belongs to science. And the Bible is no logic inside. No. When you later on you study the chapter, you study the book, even the whole Bible, there is a very tight logic there. You know the book of Romans, right? If Paul right now practiced the law, he will be the number one lawyer in the United States. If you look into the book of Romans, right, the logic is so tightly related, knitted together. Nobody can defeat that kind of logic. So there's a logic inside. So, chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Transformation. If you look from the perspective of transformation of Peter, right? After Peter encountered Jesus Christ, what is the first transformation? In order to come up with the answer, right? You have to observe. And then, observe what? Before he encountered Jesus and after he encountered Jesus, what's the difference? Right? And this difference is transformation. So chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. What is the first transformation of Peter's life? Before he met Jesus and after he met Jesus? What's the difference? And that is the difference. That difference is a transformation. What? Compare the difference and then come up with the answer. Let me give you a hint. Before Peter met Jesus, what happened to him? Verse 5. And after he met Jesus, what happened to him? Verse 6. And you compare verse 5 and 6 and come up with the answer. What's the answer? If you use a camera, right? Took a picture before he met Jesus. And then you took another picture after he met Jesus. What's the difference? You compare two pictures. What's the difference? You don't know. Before he met Jesus, Peter was very tired, maybe dozing, and the boat was empty. And after he met Jesus, the fish was jumping around, right? The newly caught fish jumping around, and Peter was very excited, right? What's the difference? From having nothing to having something. That's the first transformation, right? So what does that mean? Now we observe this literal meaning. Then what does that mean to us? Before we meet Jesus, we have no grace of God. But after we meet Jesus, according to 1 John chapter 1, Jesus came to the world filled with what? Two things. Jesus came to the world filled with what? Two things. grace and truth, or truth and grace. Which one? Truth and grace, or grace and truth? Huh? Truth and grace, or grace and truth? Look in your Bible. Which one? 充充满满有恩典有真理了、oh, Grace and truth Right、oh, Okay So this is the first transformation、oh. Now The second transformation Just there's a logic、oh. The second transformation Then you have to compare Verse 4And verse 8. You compare these two verses. What is the second transformation? Observe, compare, and come up with a conclusion. Verse 4 and verse 8. You look into the way they call Jesus.And come up the comparison and come up with the answer. Before Peter caught a lot of fish, and after Peter caught a lot of fish, what's the difference? And that difference is a transformation. So he compared verse 4 and verse 8 and come up with a conclusion. What is the conclusion? Huh? Verse 5, how did Jesus call, Peter call Jesus?Master, right? Master means what? Teacher. At that time, they commonly called teacher as a master, right? And after he caught a lot of fish, how did Peter call Jesus Christ? Huh? Lord, right? Lord means what? Lord means what? You are my Lord, right? Lord upon me. You are my king, my ruler.Right? So when you compare the difference, then you come up with the transformation. What's the transformation? His relationship with Jesus Christ had been changed. Originally, he thought Jesus only one of many teachers. Right? Yes, we respect teachers, but there are so many teachers. But right now, after he experienced so much blessing, he knew Jesus is not only a human being.He is God himself. So he called Jesus Lord. You are in control of me. I'm waiting to submit myself to you. So you are my Lord. So that relationship has been strengthened from being a teacher to become a Lord. So this is the second transformation, right? Now, the third transformation.You compare verse 10 and 11. What is the third transformation? What is the third transformation? Verse 10 and 11. What is the third transformation? Look, observe, compare, and make a conclusion.The third transformation. You don't know. Before Jesus talked to him, what was his profession? Fisherman, right? And after Jesus called him, what is his profession? Fishers of men.A little bit different, right? But it's a lot of different, right? Before he was catching the fish. Now he's what? Catching the soul. So that's the difference. Right? So, the content of life, the direction of life has been transformed. So observation and compare and come up with a conclusion. Now,We look into even deeper. Oh. Sometimes we do the Bible study, you need to use a telescope very far away, look the whole thing. to see what the whole thing looks like. Sometimes you read, conduct a Bible study, you need to use a what? Microscope. Oh, examine every word, every sentence. Oh. So let's zoom on closer to examine the text. Chapter 5, Luke chapter 5. How can Peter, from catching nothing into catching a lot of fish? There must be some reason, right? Now, you observe the reason. So what is the first reason? Look into verse 4. You come up with the first reason. Peter was able to catch a lot of fish. You know, there are 5 W, right? When, where, what, right? And you look into verse 4, talk about when. When did Peter catch a lot of fish? And when you come up with when, then you interpret what does that mean. When did Peter catch a lot of fish? Verse 4. Verse 4. When? Yeah, when Jesus finished talking. Did Jesus teach him how to catch a fish? No, Jesus was a carpenter's son, right? So Jesus Christ probably know how to make a wood of the table, bed, chair. Jesus was a layman of catching the fish. But when Jesus finished the talking, then, which means Peter finished listening to Jesus' sermon and he catch a lot of fish. So what does that mean? Spiritually speaking, what does that mean? Jesus finished talking and Peter listening the teaching of Jesus and he catch a lot of fish. What does that mean spiritually? So we from a literal meaning into spiritual teaching. You can quote from the Sermon on Mount. Jesus said, don't worry about what and whatever. Yeah, seek first his kingdom and righteousness first. And then what is going to happen? All your daily need will be given to you. Oh, right? So, Peter was listening the teaching of Jesus means that is the way to seeking God's kingdom and righteousness. Right? After you seek the kingdom and righteousness first, and then you catch out the need and you get a lot of fish. We have a lot of this kind of testimony, right? When you are so close to God, God will take care of your life. So this is from the timing, when? Oh. Now, where? If you compare with verse 5, come up with the answer. Why? How can Peter catch a lot of fish? He was an experienced man. Previously, he spent all night catching nothing. Why? The answer is verse 5. Hey, observe verse 5 and come up with the answer. Verse 5. Why? Of course, I can just give you a lecture from the beginning to the end, but it seems not very good, right? So I ask a question to stimulate your thinking. Why? Because Jesus asked him to cast out the net on this side, and Peter followed, right? Jesus Christ considered as a layman in catching the fish. However, Peter just obeyed. And then he catch a lot of fish because Jesus is God himself. So what does that mean? If we want to experience the grace of God, very simple way is you just do whatever God wants us to do. Right? So, Matthew chapter, last chapter, talk about if you follow all the teaching of the Bible, God will abide in you. Right? If we follow all the teaching of the Bible, God will abide in us. If God abides in us, the blessing of God will follow. Let me ask you, 10 minus 1 equal to what? Very simple, right? 10 minus 1 equal to what? Equal to 9, right? 100,000 minus 10,000 equal to what? 90,000, right? Yeah, that's a human mathematics. But 10 minus 1 can be 10 or 11. Then you say, oh, it's impossible, right? What I'm talking about, what? Offering the tithes. Yeah. No. If you use you're too smart, right? You're too smart. Use your worldly wisdom to calculate. We will never offer the tithes. Or you just do your best to reduce the tithes. Right? Before tax or after tax, or before the mortgage or after mortgage. Right? Think about it a lot. But if we know the teaching of the Bible has contained a lot of blessing, and we have the faith to offer the tithes even before the tax, you will receive more blessing. So, simply follow the teaching of the Bible. That is the best way to experience the blessing of God. And the third reason, look into the sheep. What's the difference? Before Peter catch a lot of fish and after Peter catch a lot of fish, what's the difference inside the sheep? Before Jesus catch a lot of fish, how many people in the boat? Before Peter catch a lot of fish, how many people in the boat? Peter alone, right? When Peter catch a lot of fish, there's one more person inside. Who? Jesus Christ. Oh. So what does that mean? We have to invite Jesus into our family. We have to invite Jesus into our marriage, right? If the Jesus Christ is abide in your family, is abide in your marriage, and the blessing will overflow. Right? Now the problem is, a lot of people, their marriage, there's no Jesus there. Their family, there's no Jesus there. A lot of entertainment, no Jesus Christ there. You have a lot of fun, but you have no joy. Why? No Jesus Christ there. So three reasons make Peter from catching nothing to catching other things. First, he seek the kingdom and righteousness first. The second, he obey Jesus' instruction. The third, he invite Jesus on board of the boat. That is a secret, right? So, interpretation, observation, interpretation, and life application. And from the first stage, nature evolved into second stage. So right now, a lot of people say, oh, marriage through introduction, I cannot accept it, right? Can you accept it? Marriage through introduction. Can you accept it? A lot of people cannot accept it, right? You want to what? Go through a lot of courtship. After the courtship, you really know the other party is trustworthy, then you can marry, right? And Jesus Christ, after we interact with Jesus Christ, we experience so much blessing of God, and you can realize that Jesus Christ is trustworthy. You can trust your life to him. Absolutely trustworthy. He will never fail you. Oh. And then at that time, our relation with Jesus Christ will develop into deeper level. You are not only my teacher, you teach me. You are my Lord. I'm willing to submit my life to you. Trust myself to you. Trust my marriage to you. Trust my future to you. And that relationship becomes deeper. So, our spiritual life doesn't mean you have nothing to do. Do you know? After I received the baptism, I received the Holy Spirit, I already guarantee with the heavenly kingdom. So, I have nothing to do. No. We have developed a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And that deeper relationship with Jesus Christ eventually will transform into the goal. Your life is different. Previously, we live for ourselves. Catching the fish, you have your own career, right? You catch more fish, you sell and earn more money, you can live a better life. Right? But now, we catch fishes of men. We preach the gospel. Right? And win the soul. And one soul, the value is more valuable than the whole world. So when we use that as a goal of our life, your life will become very meaningful and very valuable. Oh. So the whole section, we only study one passage. Oh. Prince Adam. Amen.